to Bergen flying south. So here I am, yellow 4, passing along this cloud bank. I see an opening start to develop to the left. My glance turned to the left, and there is this ME-109 firing his guns at me, coming through the opening. He was coming through and firing at me. I saw he was firing directly at me, which meant he wasn't going to hit me. And that's something you think of in a fraction of a fraction of a second. He was at about a 30, 45 degree angle, starting to make a turn so that he would be pulling ahead of me and then he would get me. This is a sight you never want to see in your life. My reaction, I wanted to do 40 things at once. So here's what I did, and figure that fractions of a second are going by. I called out, "Break left, yellow flight." But while I'm calling that out, I pulled back on my stick, pushed in left rudder as hard as I could in order to try to meet him head on. It was my only chance of surviving. Remember, I have my tanks on, my externals. There was no chance to do anything about that. I had to pull back on the stick, let go of the throttle after yelling, "Break left, yellow flight," as fast as I could. It was jumbled. "Where the hell are you flight?" You know, and it clearly was an alarming way to say it. And I went into a stall. I pulled back so hard, and I went into a spin, and my belly was facing him as I started to go down. And I had full throttle on because I wanted to get out of his line of sight. And at the same time, I'm hoping, "Ed Moroney, get this guy." I'm going now in a dive with my tanks on. I must release those tanks. I pull the switch up to release the tanks as I'm going in this dive, and I'm waiting. I'm not hit. I expected to be hit badly. And I hear Moroney yelling, "I see him. I got him, Tiger. I see him. I got him." He meant he was going after him. And now I'm in this dive. Moroney is saying, "I got him. I got him. I got him," like that several times. And I'm going in this dive, and my right external tank would not come off. The left one came off, the right one didn't. So, what you do in a case like that, you fire your guns, and that releases the tanks, because when you fire, you know, you got 6 guns firing, there's the reaction that pushes the plane back. Those hooks that are holding the tanks is open, and the wind pushes the external tank off. In just brief moments. So now I'm diving, and Moroney is up there saying he's saying he's out turning me. This is Moroney, my element leader. "He's out turning me," and he repeats it. "He's out turning me." I'm diving at about well over 500 miles an hour, and as I say, I got the tank off, the right tank off, and I'm going extremely fast. And I pulled back on the stick to go up and help Moroney. And now I'm climbing. I'm climbing very, very fast, and I see the two above me. It was a pretty sharp pullout, but not enough to black me out. I really felt the force of the gravity, the G's. So I'm pulling up, and I'm still going a good 400 to 500 miles an hour, very fast, pulling up, climbing, and I see them in a circle at opposite ends of the circle. I'm coming up fast, and I focus on the one ME-109 in its 90-degree turn. They were both at 90 degrees, and I got a burst off at him, and I pulled back on my throttle because I didn't want to overshoot him. Even though I was in a climb, I was going so fast, and I got a hit. I could see a couple of flashes on his fuselage. He immediately flattens out and starts to dive at about a 45-degree angle. And I go up, I turn on my back, and then turned over so that I was in a normal flight attitude. But now I'm diving on him faster than he is diving down. And I got off another burst, and it also hit because I was right behind him. It was almost no more than a 10 or 20 degree deflection. I was about 300 or 400 yards behind him, but I was catching up very fast, and the distance just melted away. And by the time I finished all my bursts at him, I was no more than maybe 50 feet away. Very close. So I'm firing at him. He's going down. He's going down very faster and faster, but I'm still able to keep up with him. I had the advantage of closing speed, and I could determine how fast or slow I wished to go in order to get to an even better position behind, closer behind him. And I was firing quite, anyway, he started shedding pieces. The canopy, came off, he's continuously shedding pieces of the plane from the wings, the fuselage, as I'm firing. And, I don't know, at about, maybe 5, 6, 7,000 feet, because you're not watching the altimeter. You just have a feeling of where you are. He was trying to get out of the plane, and, I don't know if it was his parachute or what, but it looked like a large piece of, a fairly large piece of cloth, from the, on the right hand side of his fuselage. And I thought, I could see a human form, leaning a little to the right. And I kept on firing, and I stopped because he was smoking and burning, not burning very much, but smoking, and he just kept on going, and I didn't need to fire anymore, and he went into the ground and crashed. It was, you know, when you see the human form, it's different than when you're firing at an inanimate plane. And we always used to say, I got him, but we always meant the plane somehow. And I think the bullets were ripping him to shreds. It was, I don't know if it was blood, but it was either oil or blood that was on the right-hand side of the fuselage. As I was closing, I didn't want to close and overrun him. So I had my throttle almost all the way back as he was slowing down, except in his, first he was going faster. Then he was slowing down as the bullets were hitting him. And then the dive steepened. And instead of following him in the dive, I pulled off and circled around him as he dove straight into the ground. That was it.